Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I have been speaking about the soul of a man. Matthew 16, verses 25 and 26, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What a terrible thing it is for a man to lose his own soul forever. The soul of a man is an immaterial, but it is also an immortal part of the man. The soul of a man can be vexed, can faint, can be knit to the soul of another, can thirst for God, can be cast down and disquieted, can be converted, can be restored, can be humbled and chastened, can praise the Lord, can be kept from unnecessary troubles, can be anchored, can prosper, and can be exercised. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. "And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith." There are events in life that can exercise the soul of a man. There are events in life that can exercise the mind and the emotions of a man. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." If a man begins to look more deeply into the political world, the business world, the common educational systems, and other things of this world, he might come to the conclusion that the more I know, the sadder and the madder I get. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. "Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun." A man might labor and be pleased with something that he has accomplished, but then think of how temporary it is. He might think about how short life is. He might wonder if anyone else will value the effort that he has expended. He might wonder if someone inherits his belongings. Will that person properly value them? Will those things be squandered? Will things that he has treasured be sold in a yard sale for 50 cents or a dollar? If one thinks of inequities and injustices in this world, his soul might be greatly exercised. Then consider this. The soul of a man can be saved everlastingly and temporarily. If you have been saved, if you have been born again, then your soul is saved forever from hell. Thank the Lord for that. But souls of saved men and women need to be saved from unnecessary troubles in this life. Save your souls from unnecessary troubles by the grace of God. The believer should seek to save his soul from troubles because of his own untamed tongue. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. James chapter number 3 and verse number 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. A man might bring much, much trouble upon himself because of the misuse of his tongue. The soul of the believer needs to be saved from idleness and troubles that accompany idleness. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Emptiness is not godliness. The Bible tells in the book of Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse number 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be in this wicked generation. A man's life needs to be filled with that which is good. It can be good for men to think on good things and to work at good things. Beware of being idle and empty. Some of the best therapy that some people could get is to go to work at something, to busy themselves at something that is good. And then the believer needs to save his soul from emotional exhaustion by the grace of God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. If a believer tries to do God's work his own way and by his own power, that can soon lead to emotional exhaustion. That can lead to burnout. But if a man takes the yoke of Christ upon him and learns of Christ, he shall find rest for his soul. Consider Romans chapter number 7. A man can be saved, and a man can want to do that which is right and try to do that which is right, and yet be frustrated and be failing and failing and failing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The believer that is trying to work for God needs to do it by the power of the Lord. We need to realize that the victory is in Jesus. We need to realize that we are to rest in Jesus. Then consider that the believer's soul needs to be saved from unnecessary vexations and attacks on his soul. Vexation of the believer is common, but the believer might avoid some vexations. Both Lot and Samson were in places of great vexation because they chose to be there. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. If you want rest for your soul, don't feed fleshly lusts. If you feed fleshly lust, you might find that it is like feeding a fire so that it grows and rages even hotter. Some people might mistakenly think that if the lusts are fed, then they will be satisfied. Would you advise a man to feed a fierce and threatening lion one good meal so that that lion will leave him alone? A man might think that when a fleshly lust seems small and manageable, that there is no harm in feeding it. Wolf pups grow up to be full-grown wolves. Little lions grow up to be full-grown lions. And a seemingly little lust can grow up to be a great and terrible lust through feeding it. A park might have a sign posted that says, don't feed the bears. Here's a warning for believers. Don't feed fleshly lusts. Then, the believer's soul needs to be saved from spiritual starvation and thirst. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 106 tells of the Israelites after they had escaped Egypt. Psalm 106, verses 14 and 15. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You might achieve a variety of goals in life. You might drink deeply of the wells of this world, but still be thirsting and hungering for spiritual refreshment and fulfillment. If you are starving spiritually, if you are thirsty spiritually, go to the Word of God and eat and drink from the bread and water of life. If you're not in a good church, find a good church where you are fed. Find a place where the water of life is given there and the bread of life is given there. Our souls can be starved. Our souls can thirst. And sometimes we might be taking things in that seem to be filling, but actually are not nourishing to us. Who knows how many people are going to services but are not receiving the spiritual nourishment that they need. I know that the Bible teaches believers not to forsake the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is. But sometimes a person might be going to a church simply to fulfill that requirement and at the same time are not being fed. I've been in more than one situation where even though so many things about the churches seem to be good, I felt like I was not being well fed. Thank the Lord, when I went to Tabernacle, I was under Dr. Seitler, and he fed me there, and I needed to be fed. The soul of the believer needs to be saved from spiritual starvation and thirst. If you are attending a church regularly, but are starving for spiritual meat and spiritual drink, then examine yourself. Sometimes a person might complain that he is not getting anything out of the services when he has a sin sickness that is keeping him from properly digesting the spiritual meat and the spiritual milk that he receives. Look for a church that uses a King James Bible and does not use any of the other many perversions. Look for a church that upholds good, high standards for music and dress. Look for a good church that teaches salvation by grace through faith and without works. Look for a church that tells sinners to repent and to believe unto salvation, to turn from sin and trust in Christ for salvation. Look for a church that teaches sound doctrine. But if you go to a church that seems to meet all of those requirements and you are confessed up, but you are still not being properly fed, then find a church where you can be spiritually fed. Some churches serve more spiritual meat than others. You might attend a church that seems to be fairly straight and yet still leave hungry. A pastor might seem to be straight, but if he is carnal, he cannot feed the sheep as he should. If you are searching for a church and you visit a few times, ask yourself if you are fed there. Take responsibility for the feeding of your soul. Don't starve yourself spiritually.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.